Blog Talk Radio.
Look at Rob.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Hit the floor. Hit the floor. Hit the floor.
Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Rob, just sliding
in
the bag.
Come on. Sliding in the home safe. Let's go.
Sir. Rob, you on, bro?
Did he make it in?
Oh, yeah, on time. Man.
No, that is not on time. Tom Coughlin, that was not on time, bro.
Either one of y'all on 15 minutes early. Y'all don't need to come.
Not today.
I was on six minutes earlier. I was here.
JQ was on. He was on, like I said, the one time that I'm over here, like, I was, like, getting settled.
Not 15 minutes.
We're actually on. Officially, that's pretty good. Officially, you get on like 10 minutes early. That's the official time. But literally, I'm in the queue and everything like that. So I'm just saying. What are we doing? We do a little housekeeping, America. That's what we do. We like busting chops, man. You know, Tom Coughlin. If you 15 minutes, you know, whatever, you're still late. So that's all good. But again, welcome to Talking Sports, the 12th man. It is wrapping up the month of February, Black History Month. Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, having fun. Let's check in with my co-host, Mr. JQ. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I'm good. Like I was telling you before, I was catching up with one of my homeboys, some little Girl Scout cookies, and I'm in the car, but I'll be home here shortly. But I'm ready to talk some sports, man. How you guys doing?
Doing good. Shout out to Zoo, man. I know Zoo, man. That's my guy, too.
Yep.
Man. So we go back, like, you know, obviously, whenever I was doing the music for the Gwinnett Braves, man, now the Gwinnett Striper, whatever. But, Zoo, call in one day, man. Hope you're doing good, man. Hope you're little people. Let's check in with my boy, Rob. How you feeling, sir?
Man, doing great. Can't be better. Let's make it do what it do.
Awesomeness. See, Rob can't talk too much junk because he knows the truth. But anyway, we're having a good time. And let's throw out some numbers here for those that want to call into your voice. And I'm just busting Rob's chops, you know, because obviously he does a lot of good things here. 424-243-9519 is the number if you want to reach out to us. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And then last but not least, reach out to us on Facebook, man. We're having some fun with that, too. Facebook.com/12thmansports. Or if you actually type in Talking Sports with the 12th Man, you will find us in that arena as well. Gentlemen, we got a lot to talk about, a lot of sports. So let's kick it right off. We'll let Rob talk about the college basketball, the update on Providence at Xavier. Go ahead.
I'm at the Xavier with a big 84-74 win, wins the first Big East title. And obviously, you know, Villanova is in the Big East, and Xavier is the winner. I know it's right there out of JQ's hometown, Cincinnati.
Stop it.
Cincinnati, I know he's not a big hit fan.
Uh-oh. Nope.
But they are the Big East champions. This is their first Big East title. Trayvon blew it. 23 points in his final game at the Cintas Center. Big win for Xavier. They are looking pretty for the NCAA tournament. Malik White led Providence with 15 points. And Xavier, big-time win. Providence still kind of on a bubble for the tournament as well.
Yeah, I'm not real happy about that. If they mess around and get a number one seed, I won't have to hear the end of it because my stepmom is a big Xavier fan, even though my dad is all UC. He's Alabama because he's from Alabama, but he went to UC. So, you know, he's a UC basketball fan for sure. So it's going to be interesting times in the Jenkins household in Cincinnati.
Wow. Good deal.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you guys too. If you guys get a chance to, I don't know if you guys have Fox. I don't know. You don't have Fox Sports Net or Fox Sports. But if you have Fox Sports, both of you guys, you should definitely record. There's a documentary called A Shot in the Dark. It's about some gentlemen that are trying to like make their dreams come true, just living in the tough neighborhood of Chicago. You know, shout out to D-Way and stuff like that, too. So you should – really, really good documentary. I was intrigued. So it really comes on tonight at 12. So if you guys want to record that, fantastic piece, because there's going to be some guys you recognize that are trying to make it to college and trying to make it to pros, man. So you'll appreciate the documentary. Okay. A little side note, but I was thinking about that, man. But really, really good, man. Just it's very definitely poignant in kind of what's happening right now in our world, too. Let's talk about this. Grayson Allen here. He's being accused here of tripping again, and I guess the question is, should he be suspended? I'm going to emphatically say yes, because you're trying to, like, end coach careers and stuff like that. Kind of similar to we'll got to talk about Zsa Zsa later on, too, man, just the dirty sports and little things like that, too. I mean, there's competitiveness, but there's also dirty play, too. So I think he should definitely be suspended. What do you think about that, JQ?
You know what? At this point, I don't think it should be if he should be suspended. I think it should be for how long. And at this point, you almost have to kill him for the rest of the year. And I know that sounds harsh, and it's not any Duquesne, and I promise you it's not. If it had been player X at school Y, I would say the same thing. But once you are on your third, fourth kind of trip down memory lane, so to speak, in terms of doing the same thing, like, you have to keep escalating the punishment for him, because obviously he's not getting it. So in terms of him trying to make his mark and going to the NBA next year, he needs all these games in order to boost his stock. And for me, you hit him in the wallet and say, hey, this is not what we do, and it definitely won't be tolerated at the next level. For right now, we've already told you about this more than once, and you've been suspended for it. You've got to let it alone. I know everybody loves Duke in terms of the NCAA, and they don't want to take one of their better players away, but I think you have to, you know, put the hammer down on him. You cannot continue to do this without, you know, suffering the consequences.
Change behavior. Rob?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's got a history of doing this, and a couple of those, he clearly stuck his feet out. I mean, it's obvious.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's ridiculous how he continues to get away with this on a regular basis. The ACC's got to do something. Duke itself needs to do something. And,
right.
And are they going to suspend them for one of their biggest games, this rival against North Carolina? I seriously doubt it, but they obviously should. And like I said, if Duke themselves should be doing something to Grayson Allen, in my opinion, they shouldn't be waiting on the ACC or the NCAA to do anything. They need to send a message to their own player for his actions as well. And like I said, he's a senior now. He definitely should know better. There's obviously something wrong there. He continues to do this on a regular basis. He should definitely be suspended against North Carolina and in the ACC tournament.
Thank you. I was going to say it should be more than one game. We should be talking about whether it's not just the NCAA tournament or if it's just the ACC tournament. It should be to that level of not just the biggest rival game, but if it's not both tournaments, at least one. And I can see them, you know, erring and saying, you know, well, we're not going to kill him in his senior year, Duke player, and take him out for the NCAA. But you got to take him out for the ACC tournament. He's got to know. And even if this is senior year and he's not going to come back, you got to let him know. But you have to, like you said, let the Duke program know that this won't be tolerated. And if you have another little Grayson Allen Jr. come down the line that wants to do the same thing, we're going to hit them hard, and we're not going to give you this benefit of the doubt. They have to let them know. I think it has to be at minimum for the ACC tournament.
Yeah, I'm going to go on the limb and agree with you both, but I'm going to say just go ahead and suspend them for the season, I mean, even for the tournament, because, again, nothing hits harder than affecting this team, because you basically, you know, you're doing this, like I said, you're not really, you know, learning your lesson. So the best way to punish him is also punish his team. Everyone's like, dude, why do you keep doing that? So that way he'll learn, and then, you know, we got to change the behavior too. So, you know, that's something that you got to make that happen too, for sure. So, you know, suspend him for the tournament, suspend him for both tournaments, and I guarantee you he will never do that crap again, because, you know, you can hurt somebody's career, you know, so that's what it's all about.
Yep.
And all Duke right. lost, that always puts a smile on my face. But my Tar Heels lost too, though.
Yeah, and then but it's all good. And we'll talk about this too, guys, because right now there's a lot of things happening. So I know we just kind of touched on last week as far as what happened with Arizona, and just the everything's kind of going on. And I don't know if you guys watch Inside the NBA. You know, they had a really good conversation too with Chris Webber, Isaiah Thomas, just about like playing athletes. And we're not gonna talk about this right now. but just kind of just the whole mentality of what's happening right now in college basketball and in the NCAA. So, you know, I definitely will talk about another subject too, but just I think with a lot of things that's happening right now, FBI, they can freaking find, you know, manuscripts and stuff like that about stuff, but they can't freaking find a freaking killer in Florida. I mean, little things like that. It doesn't add up, man. I'm pretty upset about that. But, again, not to get political, but, you know, again, we'll touch base on that too as well too. All right, really quickly, let's do some NBA updates here. And let's kick it off with the Pacers taking on the Atlanta Hawks. Go ahead, Rob, with that.
Obviously, the Pacers sitting at the number 5 seed in the Eastern Conference. Tough road loss against your Atlanta Hawks. The Hawks, the big win, 107-102. The Pacers made a run there in the fourth quarter. They outscored the Hawks by 15 points in the fourth quarter. But in the end, the Hawks hold on, 107-102, home victory over the Indiana Pacers tonight.
We can't call them his Atlanta Hawks no more. I mean, can we just go ahead and let that go? Can we just talk about the Hawks like in a bubble? Because they're not his Hawks, because we know who he's rooting for. He's watching Golden State and Washington. So you're right. They're killing the taking chances. I don't know what they're doing right now, but that's a bad loss for Indiana. In the East, they're still going to get in, but that's a really bad loss for them. Those are one of the ones you look at the schedule and say, that's a win we have to have. And I just don't understand what happened with Indiana there. I tell you, when you come to Atlanta, they get to going out to the clubs and seeing the pretty black women. They just don't come to play. It happens. And people say, how do you lose to the Hawks on a bad team? It's the city of Atlanta has struck again.
Dwayne Bettman, 15 points, 9 rebounds, 4 block shots. Hit 3 3 points.
That's the Rock picking him up, too. Picking him up on that little joker.
I lost DeMarcus Cousins. Kevin Love still out, so I needed a big man.
Hey, do what you got to do. I'm not mad at you.
I don't know why you're hating on me, JQ, man. I am a fan of the Hawks, bro. You know, I don't know why you don't throw that out there too. Listen.
Can we talk about the Warriors team all the way across the country than you do the Hawks in your own backyard?
What am I going to talk about the Hawks about? What am I going to talk about the Hawks?
You don't ever talk about the Hawks.
What am I going to say about the Hawks? What do the Hawks have? What do I have to talk about, bro? I'm sick of a losing squad. I'm literally gonna be a Hawks fan. Good game, Isaiah. You know, by Isaiah Taylor. Good game. You know, I like John Collins, obviously. Deadman, that's all we got. You know,
it won tonight, man. It's
well.
The first thing came out of your mouth when you started the show tonight.
Definitely won.
Right.
Yeah, but it's not like we like.
See.
What we won 14 games, bro. Man, come on, man. I'm hoping the NBA will give us the number one pick, but you know they may not want to give it.
Give it
to you. Like freaking. Yeah, man. Like,
it's 80 y'all
out there
blowing it, so. Yeah. It's 80 y'all out there just trying. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Crazy.
The one time we get that number one pick for Dwight Howard, messed around and got to freaking Orlando, and then I'm just saying I don't like the NBA right now because it was frustrating me. But
yes, you do.
You know,
you're a Warriors fan.
You
gotta love the NBA.
Oh my gosh! And then I can't have a winning team. Can I have one winning team, JQ? Come on, man.
Just,
you got Ohio State.
I got
you. Got
to.
Ohio State.
I'm,
you know.
But
I
if
got,
you're a Warriors fan,
he's
right. You gotta love the NBA if you're a Warriors fan.
You know,
right,
you know, it is a good spot to be, you know, obviously to be the Warriors, you know, but I'm not a fan of what Josh I did. But I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I got to have one. Literally. I got to have one, man, because I'm getting my ass kicked, man, every other sport, man. So come on, man, let me have something. Falcons.
Hey, I just.
I got to message you, bro.
I got to.
Okay. Well, I'm going to defend myself fiercely because, again, I'm just saying, you know, I mean, of all my teams, I don't think any of my teams have won any championships. I mean, the Braves got one, you know. Come on. You know, I mean, Georgia Tech,
hey,
know, they ain't doing nothing basketball or football. Hawks, Brent, you know, who I got? Who do I have? Can I have one? Can I get one? That's all I'm saying. Let me get one. I've got North Carolina.
Oh, man, you're getting nerves, JQ.
You know what I'm saying?
I know, I love it.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I just want one. Let me get one damn team.
I'm going to let you have one. My only point is we can't lead it off with Dre's Hawks because they're along with Dre's Hawks. They're just the Atlanta Hawks. That's all my point was. Is just don't say Dre's Hawks because they're not Dre's Hawks.
Now, if somehow we can sort of make a – we could be competitive. I mean, whether we're getting, Bagley or Michael Porter, something like that, some superstar, and then we can talk a little different, man. I don't know what else. I still rock the gear, but it's just like, man, we're sucking, man. I'm hoping that.
Were you a Warriors fan 5 years ago?
I was a Warriors fan 5 years ago. I'm just hoping that when the Warriors come to town that, they're actually going to play the players.
About 7 years
so
ago.
Oh, yeah, I was 7 years ago. I remember Tim Hardaway. I'm going back to freaking Chris Mullin. I got this.
You were Run DMC fan?
Spreewell, choking folks, Yeah. Feet Carlos Simone. Yeah, I remember. Come on.
Uh-oh.
Ron Nelson. Come on,
Uh-oh,
bro.
I hear Marcy back there.
I know. We hear feedback.
Oh, man. Leave him alone. Let's go to the next one. Let's leave Dre alone.
We're going to the game Friday, too.
Yeah.
We're going to the game Friday, too. That's going to be fun. Man. So, yeah. Yeah. We're going to the game Friday. That's right, Beth. We're going to the game, Beth. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's all it's all about, man.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, there it is.
I got to be honest.
Where you from, son?
I'm kind of torn.
Boston,
I got to be honest. So Friday, literally, they are trying to convert me. So I don't know what jersey I'm going to wear. I don't know if I'm wearing a Hawks jersey or if I'm wearing Warriors. I'm wearing Warriors. I really don't know. I don't want to sleep on the couch. Apparently,
You want my Van Exa jersey? I can give you my Van Exa jersey. You can wear it for a day.
I can wear the Warriors.
You can wear it for a day. You got to give it back, though.
I'm going to wear the Warriors and then the Hawks hat.
Don't be that guy. don't be that guy.
Oh boy, we have nothing, man. Dennis Schroeder, man.
It's fun. We get Dre triggered. I love it. He rarely gets triggered. I love when we get Dre triggered. That is the best part of the show. Go to the next one, bro.
Y'all are killing me. All right, I'm calming down now. All right, let's talk about the Hornets and the Celtics here. Go ahead, JQ.
Oh, man, big time win for the Celtics. Hornets been trying to make a run to try to get back in the playoff race here lately, but obviously they ran into a buzzsaw. Boston 134-106. Kyrie Irving had 34 points in the first three quarters, sat out the fourth quarter. Big win for the Celtics. Kemba Walker led the Hornets with 23 points, and they're probably going to be outside looking in, I think, when it's all said and done for the playoffs here.
Yeah, I agree. That's a big win. It's not a big win. It's just one of those wins you have to have. The same way we talk about the Pacers are supposed to beat the Hawks. I mean, that's one of those wins when you're the Celtics. You got to say, we got to take care of business, and they did. Kyrie, again, proving he's the man and taking that mantle in Boston. So nothing big to talk about that too much. I mean, Boston just took care of business.
I will say, Charlotte's been playing pretty well. And this was one of those statement games, like, you're not really, like, like the big brother, little brother. Like, they're, like, kind of trying to set the game up. And the Celtics is like, hey, y'all ain't ready yet. So, Kimbo, I know it's not even close, but it's one of those games where, it's like a measuring stick, right? Like, where are we at? And clearly, they still have a ways to go. But it was just one of those games where, like you said, Rob, JQ, they just pretty much put their foot on the neck and said, hey, we're gonna teach y'all, really what's happening. So, good win.
Saturday night, though, an intriguing game. Boston and Houston should be real intriguing on Saturday night.
We'll see
Boston on the road at Houston. And I think it'll be a really good test for both teams to see where they are as we get down here to crunch the NBA season.
I agree.
Let's wrap it up. Yep, let's wrap it up with the Suns of the Grizzlies. The Suns had a really good game. Obviously, the game that your boy went off, Anthony Davis, against the Suns. But Devin Booker's been playing extremely well too, Rob. So go ahead and talk about this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously, this was one of those games to see if we was going to get one of these two teams a tank. I know there's been a lot of talk. Adam Silver sent out an email to the league about tanking, and both of these teams are right there in the running for that top spot when it comes to the NBA draft. And Phoenix, I guess they suck less. They had a 110-102 win over the Grizzlies tonight in Memphis. Devin Booker, 34 points. Josh Jackson had one of his better games as a rookie tonight.
Yes, sir.
Career best, 29 points.
Yeah.
They snapped a 10-game losing streak by beating the Grizzlies 110-102. Poor Marc Gasol. Hate to see him go out like that. He's playing with a bunch of rookies and D-leaguers on his team there in Memphis as they are riddled with injuries as well. Hate to see him going out like that. But he's still giving it his all, though. 22 points, 13 rebounds for Marc Gasol. Unfortunately, like I said, playing with a bunch of D-leaguers on his roster. Or G-League is what it's called now.
Yeah, but I love it because both of those dudes, Josh Jackson and Marc Gasol, are both on my fantasy team. Let's go for 51 points.
Oh,
five.
Man.
It's all about fantasy for JQ, clearly.
Hey, look.
You got those guys playing. He's done all this whining and about he's got guys hurt their pinky toe and out for 3 to 5 weeks. Or something.
That's right. He did say
but
that.
But they
he
are though.
That.
But that's a true statement. It can be both. Like those two guys stepped up when I needed them because Gallinari, you know, got a boo boo on his finger and he can't play even though the X-rays are negative. But that's another subject for later in the show. But yeah, I mean, they got to get to another resolution about the tanking teams, and that's a bigger topic we talked about. I don't know how they can really do that because they talked about, you know, having a tournament for the AC, but you got to make the regular season mean something. And I don't necessarily want the AC to be up for grabs in the tournament. I'd rather them have a tournament for whoever wins the tournament gets the number one seed. You know what I mean? The number one pick in the draft. That is something I can get behind of all the non-playoff teams. I can get behind that just to try to get rid of this. Or they're going to have to make all of the teams that don't make the playoffs and that lottery piece being weighted the same. So they got to do something about that. But, yeah, that's just a matchup of just two teams going nowhere. And I agree with you, though. Marc Gasol, from the grit and grind of, you know, the grindhouse in Memphis and him and Z-Bo giving people the business and making that series just rough and tough to play Memphis. It's just hard to watch them fall so far so quickly. It's tough. I feel bad for Marc Gasol. I really do.
Yeah. You know, I wish I had anything – some good things to say about Memphis, but ever since they fired, you know, Fizdale, I can really care less about Memphis. They did them wrong, man. So I don't know. I don't really have a heart for them. you know, Marc Gasol, like you said, Rob, you know, both of you guys have said he's playing his heart out. But yeah, it's all good. We have the motto falling, so it's all good. All right, gentlemen, we're keeping this moving here. We've got 22 minutes here. We're having a great time talking sports here. And let's talk about the OKC. And I guess the question is, how come, you know, Westbrook, Anthony, and Paul George can't find their way like Chris Paul and James Harden have in Houston? So, you know, again, Rob, you're going to lead us off, and then we'll let JQ kind of play the closer here. So what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really interesting. At one point here, it looked like they were really starting to turn a corner. I mean, right now they're still a playoff team. If the season ends today, they're sitting in the number 7 spot if the season ended today. So they're still being a playoffs. And I still think they're going to be a tough out, though, come playoff time. I think Russell Westbrook and Paul George, you can still see Carmelo Anthony. I mean, he can hit big shots when it comes down to it. But he's such a liability on defense for that team, as you can see it. And I know we've said this early in the season that they should probably consider him being in more of a six-man role and maybe get some better defensive players in the starting lineup. And, I'm surprised that Billy Donovan hasn't thought about that or gone that route. Because when you look at the Rockets, Chris Paul, James Harden, I mean, but they're bringing some scorers off the bench, too. Eric Gordon. Ryan Anderson a lot of times come off the bench as well now too. So they're bringing in guys that can really shoot the basketball. And I'm very surprised that OKC hasn't gone that route too. They played Golden State tough a couple of times, beat them twice. I mean, obviously this last time, Golden State got them by like 32 points, 112-80 here just recently.
That's right, suckers.
But, oh, man.
I had to do that. Oh, man. Yeah, all in. Hashtag all in. But you know what? You know what, Rob? You're right. And you touched on it, and that was going to be my point, coaching. and we give, you know, Billy Donovan is just not doing a good enough job, and that's just my point of it. You've got those three guys. You've got to find a way to make some hard decisions and have some tough conversations about who should be doing what in the best interest of the team. But I don't think that's happened for OKC. And we're talking about, you know, Houston's coach, his name just forgot me, from Phoenix. He's doing a really good job for Houston. He's doing a really good job for Houston in terms of putting people in their proper roles and getting everybody to buy in. And they feel like, you know what, even if you come off the bench, you're still going to get your time. You're still going to get your shots. You're still going to get your shine. And he's able to get them to buy in, and that's kind of rolling on a lot more smoothly than what's happening in OKC. And if we could be honest, like if we could be honest amongst the three of us, doesn't it say a lot about what's going on with Carmelo, Paul George, and Russell Westbrook, where they are unable to come to that meeting of the minds like, hey, the two of us start, and you need to do this, and this is the best interest of our team. This is how we're going to move forward. We all want to get a championship. We all want to knock off Golden State. This is our best way to do it. You need to settle into this role. I feel like Melo's the one that hasn't settled in. And sometimes I think it's also coaching, but I also think it's a Paul George and Russell Westbrook thing talking to him of, hey, man, we need you to accept this role. We love you. We know what you meant to this game. You're a certified first ballot Hall of Famer. But for right now, for this team, this is your best role. And they still haven't settled on that quite yet. And you feel like if not now, then when will it happen, right? You know, we're only 20-something games left in the season. So, to me, it's those two guys, but it's also coaching. You got to look at D'Antoni and give him some credit where he doesn't get a lot of credit. People feel like he just rolled Nash's coattails there in Phoenix and then the flame out in L.A. And just not able to live up to expectations. But I feel like he's done a much better job in Houston than Billy Donovan has. I feel like Billy Donovan is just overmatched. He just is a college coach, and he's not equipped to handle the NBA rigors. That's just me.
Absolutely. And, I think there's definitely something to it, and I was going to say that earlier as well. You wonder if Russell Westbrook, you know, there's some selfishness there, and that he struggled to bring both of those guys along. I think you have to wonder that, too. Obviously, this team was actually a little bit better when it was just him last year. It was unbelievable. And you would think you bring these stars along, and, you know, they should have been a top four team in the Western Conference. I think that was the expectation about from all basketball fans going into the season by just adding Paul George and Carmelo Anthony. You got a big man in Steven Adams who brings some nastiness to the game. And so you wonder if there's something there from a leadership standpoint in Russell Westbrook. Can he do it? Can he bring those guys along? And I think he's got to be that guy as well as Billy Donovan as well to get those guys to become more of a cohesive unit. I still think, though, they could be a threat come playoff time. I'm sure there's still a team that you're not going to want to see in the playoffs. And right now they're in the number 7 spot, which right now has them going up against number 2 Golden State. You don't know if that's going to stand.
Dub Nation.
Don't know. Neither one of those teams may not stay in that seed, but we do know the back end of the Western Conference, number 3 all the way down to number 10, is extremely tight right now. So there still could be a lot of movement on that back end. I think it's safe to say that the Rockets and Golden State will either be one or two. The Warriors and the Thunder in the playoffs, man, I would love to see that.
Yep.
And you know what? The other piece of that is Oladipo. And you talk about Russell Westbrook. Think about what Oladipo is doing for Indiana. I know they lost today to Atlanta. But what he is doing this year in terms of probably going to be the most improved player this year in terms of awards, how come Russell Westbrook couldn't bring that out of him when he was at Oklahoma City? You know what I'm saying? Like, what happened to where you have that kind of untapped potential that he has, that he's shown here this year with Indiana, that Russell Westbrook couldn't get him to ball like that next to him in Oklahoma City? So I agree with you, Rob. That's a lot also on Russell Westbrook, that players leave him to have that kind of potential, and they ball out, and they bring in guys that have greater potential and have shown in the league, and they still can't get to the level that we feel like they should have been. So you're right. I still think some of us is still the Donovan because he's the head coach, but you're right. Everything also rests on your star player, and that also falls on Russell Westbrook. How can he not – is unable to bring those greater assets and that ability out of his star players that are around him?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep. We have definitely
– you have to wonder – And that's the reason why Kevin Durant left all along, obviously.
That's what I was going to say.
I still think it was probably more of a punk move, but, you know, you have to wonder if something there. And, you know, as far as the relationship and the selfishness with Russell Westbrook, and what that could have led him out of town as well.
Yeah,
I agree.
That's the thing. I think it's an ego thing. We talked about it, but like you said, it's got to be – you nailed it. Both you guys have said this. It's got to be Russell Westbrook. He's got to be the guy. If he really wants to win a championship, there are certain things you got to do. There's certain things you got to sacrifice. You know, whether you are – I'm not going to sit there and score like, you know, I don't need to score like all those points, but you have to be, you know, take a lesser role. You say, hey, talk to these guys. Say, hey, look, you know, really, this is how we're going to win a championship. And like I said, if I'm Russell Westbrook and I have Kevin Durant, I'm going to have like 30 assists every night. It felt like he was like trying to like compete with KD as far as who's a bigger star. I mean, you had half the components there. I mean, literally, you add your bench, you guys are already there. You know, so I really do think that, you know, and Russell's a fantastic player. He's a great, you know, there's certain players that are great individual players, but there's certain players that are team players. So I definitely think that had something to do with, you know, obviously Kevin Durant leaving. But if you're Westbrook, you have to, no matter how great, you can score 1,000 points, but if team would win, it's absolutely nothing, you know. So, I mean, that's just something I've always felt from that perspective too. We're going to talk about Ben Simmons.
It was very interesting in the All-Star game, like Kevin Durant made the comment about this is an opportunity for him to beat Steph Clay and Draymond Green.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, you could have did that by staying with OKC.
Well, like I said, I still think there's more to that, Rob. I mean, you can take all the shots that you want, but I still think there's a lot of things with chemistry and, you know, you may not
you
want somebody that, you know, you may
phone.
Work with. I'm just being honest. You could go anywhere you want to go, but still at the end of the day, maybe there are certain people that you just don't get along. You know, you think everything is hokey-dory, but at the end of the day, maybe y'all don't get along. Maybe you have different philosophies or whatever. I mean, I don't know. I'm not in the locker room, but, you know,
yeah,
when you see, like,
I totally agree. There was something there with him and Russell Westbrook. I mean, that's pretty obvious.
No question.
I mean, it was something there, and obviously that was a big part of why he left town. I'm definitely sure of that.
I mean, why did Kyrie leave the Cleveland? I mean, everything seemed to be great, right? But then you're sitting there, oh, I'm out. You could have sat there and stayed with LeBron, but I want to be the man, or I want to go and add to this other team. I mean, who knows? But anyway,
Kevin Durant definitely didn't leave to be the man because he went with a team with a bunch of stars.
Well, I'm just saying, we're not going to talk about this and that perspective too. But you know, wherever maybe the Boston was the one that said, hey, we want you to be here, and you know, you're going with Gordon Hayworth. You know, even though that didn't transpire the way that it did, but you know, whatever. All right, let's talk about Ben Simmons here and Donovan Mitchell for Rookie of the Year. Because I think it's a text to you, JQ, about this. Like, if I thought that Ben Simmons was going to be the guy, and you were, I think we were like, it may be too soon. But now it looks like, you know, Ben Simmons is actually doing some things. And this is not a knock on Donovan Mitchell either. But, you know, both are playing exceptionally well. What are your thoughts about that? I guess, Will, I'll start with you, JQ, on your thoughts on that too. Because I know how Rob feels about LSU here.
Yeah, and this is no knock on. Yeah, I know he didn't. He didn't qualify to be the Nation's Player of the Year. He could keep a C average. So don't get me started on Ben Simmons. But he's a really good player. Don't get me wrong. But if I'm looking at the two of them, we expected that out of Ben Simmons. Donovan Mitchell for me has come out of nowhere, and we're talking about Utah and that Western Conference being a playoff team. Where you look at the Eastern Conference, you're like, if Ben Simmons lives up to that height with a healthy Embiid, and not even with a Fultz, but even with those two guys, with the Covington, get anything from Redick, get anything from Covington, you feel like in the Eastern Conference they can at least make the playoffs. I didn't have any expectations for Utah making the playoffs, even with Derek Favors and a Rudy Gobert and a Rubio. I just didn't think in the Western Conference they would be able to compete to that level, and he's giving them that kind of spark and that juice and that energy. So for me, it's him. Based on the level of competition that he deals with in the Western Conference to be in that discussion still at this point at the All-Star break, where we're talking about Utah being a playoff team, because when they lost Hayward, we all said the same thing. We thought they would take a step back, right? So for me, I got to go with Donovan Mitchell just because of the expectation factor and the tougher schedule and the Western Conference being more rough and tumble.
to me, it's Donovan Mitchell, but it's in no shape or form a knock on Ben Simmons. He's played phenomenal. Him and Embiid have been great together, but it's a lot easier to make the playoffs in the East than it is to make the playoffs in the West.
All right, Ford.
Yeah, when you look at this Utah Jazz team, obviously we thought this was a team that was going to be struggling near the bottom of the Western Conference this year as well, especially with losing Gordon Hayward in free agency to the Boston Celtics. And once that happened, this Utah Jazz team, if I'm not mistaken, I think they were number 5 seed in the Western Conference, and you lost your best player, Gordon Hayward. And obviously, I thought that they were going to have a much bigger drop than what they had this season. Obviously, they're sitting in the 10th spot in the Western Conference at the moment, so they're still on the outside looking in for the playoffs, but they are in the hunt. They're one game over 500, 31-30. They're sitting in the 10th spot. They're in the Western Conference. I think they've lost their last couple of games after they had winning about 10 in a row. So they fell back here a little bit here just in the last couple of games. Ben Simmons and the Sixers. The Sixers sitting in the 6th spot, 5 games above 500. Donovan Mitchell, I tell you, has had a phenomenal rookie season. I tell you what, he's doing it on both ends of the floor, too. He's a phenomenal defensive basketball player, which I don't think a lot of people around the league are talking about. Well, a lot of people in the league know it, but from a fan's perspective, I don't think a lot of fans are talking about it, but he's a heck of a defensive player as well. As far as the on-the-ball defender, off-the-ball defender, he does it all on the basketball court. But I still got to go with Ben Simmons for the Rookie of the Year, though. His diversity, he can do so many things on a basketball court as well. He's one of these guys that's a stat sheet stuffer that's going to put the ball in the basket. He's going to rebound a basketball. He's an extremely good passer as well. So definitely he fills up the stat sheet just a little bit more, and he's on a better basketball team as well. So I think it's going to be a really close race, but I would have to go with Ben Simmons right now as well. And he's probably going to get it because of his name, but Donovan Mitchell is right there. And playing in Utah might hurt him a little bit from a voting perspective.
But I feel like the Tennessee in that Western Conference is almost equal to the 16 in the East. That's my only point. I feel like we thought that if he and Embiid stayed healthy, they would be in the playoffs. But like you said, losing Hayward, I don't think we even gave Utah a sniff of chance of making the playoffs in the West, even if they only make it as the 8th seed and get dusted in the first round. I mean, the fact that we're still talking about the Utah Jazz, to me, is a testament to Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
That's a good call, JQ, though.
It's
going to
be really close, I can tell you. I mean, Donovan Mitchell is right there. And obviously there's still some basketball to be played here down the stretch. So, I mean, I think at the moment it's really close. I mean, in my opinion, I think Simmons is slightly ahead of him at the moment. And but it'll be intriguing. The Sixers are right now in the 6th spot. The Cavs in the 3 spot, that would be also an intriguing matchup. There was a part of me that would love to see the 76ers and the Celtics go head-to-head in the first round, like old school NBA.
Yeah.
But even the Cavs and the Sixers will be an intriguing matchup. But they're going to be a team you're not going to want to see either with Simmons and Embiid.
Yeah.
Want to see the 76ers come playoff time.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I'm not saying they're also ran. So, yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, it's not a runaway from Mitchell. So if anybody thinks I'm saying it, that's not what I'm saying. But I think it's slightly. But will you slightly give it to Simmons? I'm saying I slightly give it to Mitchell.
Yeah, I think it's a good argument from both sides too. Because like you said, you know, we wouldn't even be talking about the Utah the way you know Donovan Mitchell was there, man. So again, and then like you said, you know, Ben Simmons is more of the bigger name too. But he's been playing, you know, even above beyond what we kind of expected to. So it's a good call for both of them. So either or, both these guys will be worthy of the award, if you will. I'm just going back to
the redshirt freshman.
Yep.
Yes, he is.
Took that whole year off, so he had an injury. I will say this, too, just to kind of get back on that last point, too. I do feel like, you know, the OKC are kind of proving this doesn't matter how much talent you have, that you still have to have chemistry. So, you know, if you go to a team that has a team of stars, there has to be some bending. You know, if you're going to Golden State and you're over here like, you know, I got to take a back seat or whatever. There has to be some things that have to be adjusted, and it takes a lot of things to win. So just keep that in mind. So just because you have a lot of talent doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to, you know, go to the playoffs and even win, too. Everyone has to come together. I'm just being honest. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, even it took LeBron and Wade and Chris Bosh time to kind of gel and kind of hit their stride too. So it just takes, you know, things happen. And certain teams, just everyone has to know their role. That's all I'm saying. All right, let's talk about the next thing here. Anthony Davis, man, your boy, Rob, talk about Anthony Davis, man. 50-something points, man, 50 points. Man, you talk about, you know, hitting some impressive company, if you will, and the ceiling is nothing but up to it. And I do have to say, ironically, I think, I don't know if he scores 50 points if Boogie's there. That's a whole other conversation, too. But tell us about your thoughts about this, Rob, and what he's been doing and just kind of where the next question, you know, he's definitely more athletic than Tim Duncan, but we'll talk about it later too. But tell us your thoughts on Anthony Davis and how he's been going too. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, you said it. I think obviously when DeMarcus Cousins is healthy, I mean, you have a 1A and a 1B option as your number one options there with the Pelicans. And now with Cousins out, he's clearly – the number one option when he's on a basketball floor. And so every time down, you want him to touch the basketball. Against the Suns every other night, I think 53 points. The game before that, he had something ridiculous where he was the first player in NBA history to have over 45 points, over 10 rebounds, 5 steals, and 5 blocks in the game. First player in NBA history since they've been keeping the steals and blocks stats since 1973 to 74. That was ridiculous. So you look at his last 6 or 7 games here. Tonight they had a big road win over the Spurs, 121-116. So now the Pelicans have won 7 in a row, have moved all the way up to the number 5 seed in the Western Conference, and just a half game behind the Spurs. I noticed some talk about the Spurs getting Kawhi Leonard back all of a sudden. So we'll see how that goes down the stretch. But a big win again. Kind of a quiet night by Anthony Davis standards tonight. 26 points, 15 rebounds tonight. But obviously they rallied in the final 2 minutes to beat the Spurs, 121-116. Obviously the Spurs lost LaMarcus Aldridge there with an ankle injury tonight. So that, I'm sure, helped the Pelicans able to go on the road and get a win tonight. But he's just been unreal. He's ridiculous. He can shoot the three-pointer now. He can almost hit any shot on the floor, and then he's going to give it to you on the defensive end as well. So he's playing phenomenal. He's playing like a man-child right now.
Yeah, and I'm just going to roll those two together for me. Yeah, he's way more athletic than Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan's a big fundamental, and you can't take anything from him. But Anthony Davis was just a freak of nature. 100%. And if we want to talk about it, to be honest, you remember a couple of years ago when the story was, who would you pick to start your team with today? And Anthony Davis was the consistent pick because he had all the tools, but he couldn't stay healthy. And I think he's starting to try kind of reclaim that glory, so to speak, back where he's trying to put those, you know, worries aside of, can I stay healthy, can I lead the team? And I think he really wants to do that for the city of New Orleans and for that team. And he's just out there balling out of control. And Rob touched on it in terms of the stats. He's just acting ignorant. And you're right, in terms of not having Boogie. But he talked about it, saying, you know, I think he – forget the comparison he made through that. When somebody lost somebody else, that he said they had to step up. So I took that same mindset. And that's what he's done. But I think a lot of that is that he had to remind people that, you know, everybody wants to take Karl-Anthony Towns now, somebody else in terms of who would you start your team, which young player would you start your team with now. He had to remind people that, hey, I'm still kind of young and I'm still that guy. And he's showing it to people nowadays. And are they going to come out of the Western Conference? No. But the fact that he's putting on that kind of show and just re-solidifying his status in the league has been awesome to see. I like Anthony Davis as a player, and he's a phenomenal athlete. And like I said before, when he can stay healthy, that dude is a load to deal with, and he's just reminding people of who he is.
Yeah.
All
right. This is Rob, almost – yes.
We got about a minute and 30 seconds, so you can go ahead and get us going. Man, you guys are just, like, rambling here. Can you talk – get ready to set up for the OT portion really quickly. We'll keep this going.
We're having so much fun tonight. I didn't even realize we were at the end of the show, people. But
right.
Thanks again for tuning in. We certainly appreciate it. Obviously, we still got an OT portion, so we still got a lot of basketball, even some NFL to get into, so you don't want to miss our OT portion. Click on the same link on tomorrow. You'll get to hear the remainder of the show. A lot of great information for you. Let us know what you think about the show. Let us know if you agree with some of our thoughts or disagree. We would love to hear from you. Next week, we'll be back on live again on Wednesday night, a week from tonight, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Once again, you don't want to miss it on next Wednesday night. Good night, people. We appreciate you tuning in.
Yes, sir. Sorry for the rambling. We love you guys. Download the podcast. Talk to us next week. But don't call us with that foolishness because we will cuss you out. I'm just going to tell you that off top.
Yeah. Even better. And we're going to talk about your mama, too.
Yeah.
Dang, any daddy. Any grandma.
But, getting back to the Anthony Davis comments, is he's almost carrying the Pelicans similar to the way Russell Westbrook did OKC last year. At the moment, in a different way, obviously, you know, he's a big man. Russell Westbrook was a guard and had the ball in his hands a lot more. But he is really carrying the Pelicans right now, and he's had to with DeMarcus Cousins. And a lot of people, I don't know, if a lot of fans, but even before DeMarcus Cousins got hurt, the Pelicans were really starting to hit a stride. And they had won like 6-7 in a row. Right when Cousins got hurt too, and they had moved up the Western Conference standings, so they were really starting to gel a little bit right before the injury. But he's also taken his game up a new notch since the injury, and so quietly has Jrue Holiday. He's really stepped up as that number two guy for the Pelicans too. I mean, just the other night he had 36 points himself, and he's been putting up 20 to 25 points on a nightly basis as well. So he is really kind of going back to his all-star days, too, since the Cousins injury. So it's they both picked up the slack.
Mm-hmm.
Apologize, America, for JQ and Rob getting me amped up, too. So anyway, that's my little two cents on that, too.
You got to be able to keep your composure, man.
Man, I definitely keep my composure, man. I'm just saying, man. you can only keep pushing somebody so far. That's all I'm saying. I guess since we're talking about Anthony Davis too, should we talk about him being? We also kind of talk about him in the MVP conversation. Should he be included in that, Rob, or what?
I tell you what, he's got to be in a top five conversation right now for MVP. I mean, my pick at the moment is still James Harden, and I actually thought Harden should have won it last year as well. Obviously, Russell Westbrook, I would have voted for Harden last year, but Harden would still be my number one guy. But I definitely think Anthony Davis is definitely moving up those charts when it comes to the MVP conversation. And he definitely should be in the conversation, definitely be in the top five in the votes. But my vote at this point still will go to James Harden, who's just having another phenomenal year as well. And he's been able to do it. You know, there was a lot of thoughts going into the season. Can he and Chris Paul coexist? And they've been able to do that, and surprisingly, because Harden obviously likes the ball in his hands, Chris Paul likes the ball in his hands, but they have made it work, and they're thriving right now. I still don't think they're a threat to the Warriors. Some people believe they are, but I just think when it gets to playoff times, the Warriors will just kick it up a notch. And so I don't think, but I still think he is the guy for the MVP in my opinion. But Anthony Davis is knocking on the door. And yes, he is more athletic than Tim Duncan, as JQ said. Duncan, from a fundamental standpoint, might be one of the most fundamental big men of all time. But, yeah, Anthony Davis definitely clearly a better all-around athlete than Tim Duncan is.
Yeah, you know, Anthony Davis, it's like the Heisman. Like, you know you're not going to win it, but you're going to get invited to New York. That's what Anthony Davis is right now. Like, he's not going to win it, but he's going to get invited to New York for the ceremony. So I'll give him that for sure. But to me, it's James Harden and Rob is tripping. You cannot average a triple-double and not win the MVP. That's going to happen. Just go ahead and book stamp it. Mail that in as soon as the regular season ends. When those numbers come in, Westbrook is going to win it. So I agree that I think Anthony Davis is in the conversation. He's playing out of his mind. I don't want to take that away from him. But he's in the conversation, but he's not the conversation. It's James Harden, and I think it's still his to lose.
Nice call. I like it.
Absolutely.
I love it. So we're going to talk about LeBron James because, you know, apparently they're talking about every single show. First player, and this is actually relevant, too. I know I give a lot of hard times here, but this is actually relevant.
Hey.
LeBron James, first player in NBA history to have 30,000 points, 8,000 assists, 8,000 rebounds. You know, what a great accomplishment for him. And I know a lot of times, you know, we've talked about, we've compared players, you know, the, you know, Michael Jordans and the Magic Johnsons and everything like that. And now I think officially we're going to have to just, you know, LeBron's going to have his own category, you know, because, again, not that he didn't have it, but just, you know, you try to compare certain players, but LeBron's in his own little thing because he's got the ability to kind of, like, you know, do things like Magic, but, you know, scoring and everything like that. But just he's in his own league, man. So a lot of love for LeBron. And I guess we'll talk about where he's going to take his players or his talents next, because I think you hear about the Philly stuff. But congrats to LeBron James. And I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, JQ.
Yeah, and it's gonna add another dynamic to the GOAT conversation, because we're so quick to get Michael Jordan to it, where Bill Russell has the more titles, and we always talk about the titles, but we want to gloss over the fact that Michael doesn't have as many as Russell, but he's the greatest of all time. But LeBron's going to make that – I'm not saying that he is, but he's going to make that conversation a different dynamic, because he's going to, like you said, fill in so many different stats to where he's going to be, if we project where he's going to be, top two or three in scoring, and then top 10 in assists, top 10 in rebounds, before it's probably all said done, barring some kind of catastrophic injury. But he's not going to have the titles. He's not going to get the six. I just don't see that happening to even surpass LeBron, let alone get anywhere close to Bill. So he's gonna add different dynamics to that conversation, which is gonna be fun. It's gonna be a lot of good barbershop fodder. And as far as, you know, where he's gonna go, I mean, he seems more energized with that team. And I think a piece of him is gonna look down and say, I might not have another superstar, but I feel like I got enough good role players to where they all know that I'm the man. They're all willing to let me be the man and flock under my leadership. Whereas I don't have to go here with superstar B and superstar C. And we have to figure out all our Oklahoma City or our Golden State to figure out who's going to be the man. So that's going to be real interesting to see his decision. As the days go on, I feel like it's less and less for the Lakers, my Lakers. I really feel like it's going to be either Cleveland. I feel like it's going to be Philadelphia, and maybe an outside shot of San Antonio. Because real quiet, like, you know, Popovich is not fooling me and what he has happening. He's throwing these bouquets to LeBron about how he's great, about what he's saying in social media, about the social injustice, and, you know, bigging up LeBron every chance he gets. And it's like, you know what, I see you, Popovich. You're not fooling me, brother. I see what you're doing, what you have happening, and I'm not mad, but I see what you have happening. So to me, I can't rule out San Antonio. If San Antonio can kind of smooth over the missteps with Kawhi and keep LaMarcus and say, okay, we get rid of Powell and we try to figure out how we can make it work in terms of money to get LeBron here. But I still think it's either Cleveland, Philly, and my dark horse is San Antonio. But, you know, you got to give LeBron a lot of credit for what he's done in terms of his numbers. And he's still, you know, in his mid to 30s, you know, he may not be that guy in terms of being able to go crazy for 28, 8, and 8. But if he drips down to 22, 6, and 6, I mean, 22, 6, and 6 is still pretty dumb in terms of a stat line. So he's going to make that greatest of all time conversation real interesting, I think, by the time his career is over, even if he doesn't get to 5, 6, 7 championships.
Yeah.
Well, I've always said that when you talk about the greatest of all time conversation, I don't personally think it should be about championships, because everybody was in different situations. And I mean, if that's the case, I mean, we say Robert Horry is a better player than Michael Jordan, and everybody knows that's blasphemy. Robert Horry really has 7 championships, and as JQ mentioned, Bill Russell has 11. I mean, I still rank Jordan ahead of LeBron James. The 6 championships is a part of it. I was at this current state, at this current moment, I still rank Michael Jordan ahead of LeBron James. But but you're right. When it's all said and done, and he may still have another 3 to 5 years left in his prime, and so there's still a lot of more numbers to be had. When you talk about LeBron James. And then when you look at what he's done the last 2 years in the finals, obviously they lost this past year, but they won the year before. Only player in NBA history to lead the finals in all five major categories. Mm-hmm. And there were some other good players in that NBA finals. There was Kevin Durant. There was Steph Curry. There was a lot of good players in that NBA finals. Kyrie Irving. But he led the finals in points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks. No player in NBA history has ever done that. And the year before that, he was the first to lead in points, assists, and rebounds the year they won it. So, I mean, those are some I don't know how, if people realize how unbelievable that is. And, I mean, you almost have to put him up there in the top three conversation, top five at worst, when it comes to the greatest of all time conversation with those kind of numbers that that he's put up. But I would agree that I still think Cleveland is the favorite to get him back. I think, you know, he's probably going to – they're going to wait and see how they perform this year, obviously. They're going to get Kevin Love back here sometime between mid to late March. And so we'll, you know, I'm sure he's waiting to see how everything is going to gel and come together. Mm-hmm. But we've seen LeBron take teams like this to the finals before. I mean, we've seen him take Cleveland to the finals in 07 with practically nobody. I mean, practically three
Marshall
of us. And he took the team to, I mean, obviously the Spurs swept him. But, I mean, we've seen him take teams to the finals. And that's why I say you can't really judge by championships because, I mean, Michael Jordan had Scottie Pippen behind for all six of those championships. When you talk about Kobe Bryant, he had Shaq, and Kobe wasn't even the best player on three of those championships he had. And so you can't always judge by the number of championships. And a good portion of that that run with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, those two guys weren't even healthy. And so he's had a lot of bad luck when it comes to some of the personnel that was around him. But from a championship perspective, but from the greatest of all time conversation, you still have to consider him in that conversation. But I still think it's going to be Cleveland that he's going to wind up back with, unless something drastic happens. They lose in the first round of the playoffs or something like that, then I think he's out.
Yeah, agreed.
Gotcha. Yep. I would just say this, too. We're all in the
– his best chance to get to the finals is staying in the East, though.
Yeah. Agreed.
I will say that we were all in agreement, like, especially between me and you, Rob, about – you know, I think same thing to you, JQ, about Michael Jordan. And the fact is, he even took, like, 2 years off, man. So who knows if he would have stayed for those 2 years if he would have, you know, gone this last, you know, two titles and made it eight. So that's going to be the difference. I don't think LeBron's going to be up there with that, but – yeah, like I said, you can't knock his accomplishments. It's just kind of a different player, kind of a transcendent athlete from that perspective too. So yeah, good deal. Let's talk. I do want to talk about Zsa Zsa, and then a couple of nights at Clippers and whatnot, and then we'll talk about some fantasy shoutouts here because we kind of left that off. But unequivocally, yes, that's a dirty play, terrible play. That is kind of like Grayson Allen. You got to get rid of that mess. That should not be allowed in the league, man. So 100% terrible call. And Josh, you should be ashamed of yourself. So that's my two cents on that. So let's say you, JQ.
I think he picked up that dirty play hanging in Atlanta with you when he was with the Hawks, Andre.
What'd you say?
He's...
I think he picked up that dirty play hanging out in Atlanta with you when he was with the Hawks.
You know, it's messed up, man, because, you know, you got to get an edge, right? And some players like the Grayson Allens of the world, if you don't have certain talents, you have to do other things. But you can't hurt people. That's just – there's a line, you know. I mean, there's certain things that you have to do. We ever – you know, some people made jokes that Cleveland had won since your boy has gone, Matthew Dellavedova. But there's a difference between playing with an edge and playing dirty. And you know, Bill Laimbeer had an edge – you know, sometimes they call him dirty player, but there's certain things that you can do. But, you know, he had a little heart and soul for us whenever he played for us, but then now whenever you can't do stuff like that. So that's just me. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I know. I know. I won't belabor the point. He's dirty. I think the tracker proves that he's dirty. The other NBA players think that he's dirty, except for the ones that play on his team. I mean, when they call him clumsy. No, he's dirty. He knows exactly what he's doing. It's very measured and calculated, I believe. I believe Zaza's dirty. I agree with you. You can't have that.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that play with Russell Westbrook and Nick Young for the Warriors. Mm-hmm. I mean, Zaza Pachulia is about 290 pounds. I mean, you can't just touch a man that big with just a finger or a foot, and he just falls all of a sudden. I mean, he literally fell on Russell Westbrook on purpose. I mean, that was clear, you know, trying to take the player out. We've seen that before from Zsa Zsa. And, the NBA has got to get a handle on this play and how he plays here. that you want your stars to be in this game, especially come playoff time, and you don't want to see another team star be out here because of some foolishness like that. I mean, they got to definitely get a hand on that and send them a message.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
All right. Let's do some Clipper talk here. Can they make the playoffs? And let's talk about some thrilling wins by Lou Williams and Boban, whatever, last night. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I mean, they're sitting at the – they've moved into the eighth spot now with a big win over Denver, who was in the eighth spot. So a big clutch win last night for the Clippers. Lou Williams has been playing outstanding. 13 mm-hmm. leading scorer in the NBA, and they're still bringing him off the bench too. Scored 25 points last night. I think he's had about like 10, 30-point games also this season. So obviously when they trade Blake Griffin, I'm thinking they automatically going to go in a downward spiral. But they have not. They've been right there competitive. Boban and Marjanovic obviously had 18 points and 15 rebounds yesterday. They even got 17 points from Austin Rivers. I mean, that was a big road win for them to come from 19 down and beat Denver, a team that they're battling with in the playoffs. But Houston has given them the business tonight, so Houston is returning the favor tonight. Mm-hmm. Houston is in Los Angeles, and they're giving it to the Clippers right now as we speak. So they may fall back down to earth a little bit. Houston's got an 18-point lead, 65-47, in Los Angeles so far tonight.
And yeah, and that's
I think when it's all said and done, though, I don't think they make the playoffs. I think the Clippers and the Jazz will be the two who miss the playoffs. So I think the Nuggets will wind up eventually surpassing them back up.
Gotcha. I mean, and tonight's interesting because you got the return matchup where they also almost got into the fight, you know, back in the locker room, back in LA when Austin Rivers was ready to fight Ariza. But to me, you know, I feel like this about the Clippers, blah. Like, you know, they might. If they do, if they don't, nobody cares. They're going to get destroyed in the first round. Like, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, honestly, to be honest, it doesn't matter. The Clippers are the Clippers. They go on back to their Clipper ways. And if I could talk about Gallinari and just his ridiculousness, well, I can't play because I stuffed my hand in the toaster or whatever foolishness he had happen to where he can't play. The Clippers just are who they are. And I just don't – nobody has any expectation for them. If they make the playoffs, yeah, that's great. They get a couple more home games to add to the gate. But are they going to beat the Rockets or the Warriors or even throw them? No. No, not at all.
They are who we thought they are.
Right. We give the Clippers a nice golf clap for surviving the Griffin trade. But, yeah, you know, we holler at y'all next year.
They have survived.
Sure.
They have survived. Hey, Rob, let's do the fantasy shout-outs here.
All right, fantasy shout-outs here. We kind of had a combined week here with the NBA All-Star game. So it was actually half of one week and half of another week there to make up the last week of the fantasy. Yours truly had an 8-0 win. My team, Ninth Ward Rim Shakers, 8-0 over Naptown Unibrows. Also, Aaron from Hartford, Connecticut, his team, the Druth, had an 8-0 win over Madhouse on Madison. Had the biggest wins of the week. Jake Hughes' team, Ohio Players, still sitting in first place with a 104-40 record. Yes, he's still whining about guys being out with the pinky toe, but his team's still in first place.
Yeah, but I know, right? They're killing me, though, because the thing about it is I got crushed, and I owned it. I got crushed over those 2 weeks by Curry and Draymond Green and Drummond. But we got a matchup going on this week that me and my two co-hosts, I think, are all paying attention to, and that's St. Pelicans 23 and Pass the Rock. And I think it's 8-0 right now for St. Pelicans 23 over Pass the Rock. But it impacts us all in terms of those first-round buys in the first and second season, especially for Andre trying to win his division. So I know he's real happy about what's happening with that 8-0 over Pass the Rock. He ain't going to say nothing about
that's
it.
Right.
But I know he's happy about it. I know he's watching it. So it's crazy. We got one matchup going this week that we all are paying attention to, but I love it. It keeps everything lively. But come on, man, you can't bruise your hand and not break it and not play for five games. It's just you can't do that, man. If you don't take a shot and go play and stop, I'm just saying if you don't go play, and that dude when he plays, he's been awesome for me. But he bumps into a table and he's out for 3 weeks. It's just
Back to the Clippers. They're the Clippers, and they're going to do Clipper things and have Clipper ways. So it is what it is. But honestly, shout out to everybody that's still playing and sending their lineup. It's going to be really interesting. These playoffs are going to be tough. That 3-versus-6 matchup is going to be a doozy. I'm just going to call it. I think the 3-versus-6 matchup, whoever wins that in the first round makes it to the championship game. I said it.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, I'm on opposite end of the Saints Pelicans 23. Obviously, I'm in the same division with Saints Pelicans 23, so I'm only 2 games behind them. So I'm actually pulling for Pastor Rock, so I'm on the opposite end. Jake Hughes for
me, too.
Andre's pulling for Saints. I'm pulling for Pastor Rock.
I'm pulling Pastor Rock. I'm trying to get to 1 seed. That's what I'm saying. Me and Rob are on one side, Dre is on the other, and Dre is winning it as of right now, Wednesday, early Thursday morning.
Gosh. Yep. That's awesome. All right, we're keeping this going here, man. So it's like you said, JQ, it's going to be very competitive, man. So, I'm going to keep on winning, man. That's what it's all about. Hey, we're going to talk some NFL here as we get ready to wrap the last part of the show here for the last 25 minutes here. And let's kick it off with a couple big moves with the Chiefs. We'll talk about that next. But I do want to ask about I guess we can kind of tie this in here. Let's talk about actually these are the Chiefs draft the Chiefs move first, and we'll talk about draft coverage with Lamar Jackson. So whenever we first heard about the trade, and we know about what happened with Marcus Peters, he had some challenges here. But we thought I still think he's a talented player, man. So I guess the Chiefs fans would be upset about the trade because, I know you're trying to get rid of somebody, but, man, rehabilitate him as opposed to, get rid of a talented player. So I don't know. Did he have pitchers or something like that? I don't know why he's still – they ran him out of town. But, I would be pretty upset because now you had something that you had an answer. Now you got a question. So, and I thought that they just gave a 6-round pick. And you found out they gave up a little bit more. But, if I'm a Chiefs fan, I'm pretty upset about that. So what say you, JQ, about that?
Well, because he's an idiot. And the thing about it is you knew he was an idiot coming out of college. And you drafted him anyway. Then you didn't want to deal with his idiotic ways. So for that, I would kill the Kansas City organization because it's not like you didn't know. But if I'm Kansas City and I'm trying to instill a different culture, I get it to a standpoint, you can't throw your helmet and cut a fool and get suspended. Like, the writing was on the wall for him. He gambles. He makes a lot of big plays. Well, his play slacked off to me a little bit this past year, but his locker room presence is that it's not built for everybody. And if that's the organization you're running and it's not built for you, then that's fine. I felt like they should have gotten more value for him, but they kind of tanked the trade value for him because everybody knew they wanted to get rid of him. But he's an idiot. Let's not sugarcoat it. He is an idiot. He's a talented idiot, but he's an idiot. So it is what it is. Like, you look at what he's doing in terms of his other play. He's an idiot. So you if you're Kansas City and you're like, I'd rather do more about subtraction, so to speak, of I'm going to get rid of him. We might lose a little bit, but let's think about it. That Kansas City secondary was not very good, even having Peters in it. Like, they got beat a lot down the field, and they stayed in the game a little bit, but they weren't great in the secondary. So could you get some more for him? Yeah, you get some more for him. But at some point, you just get tired of somebody being an idiot in your locker room and you say, you know what, he's your problem. Have fun. Knock yourself out. So does he go to L.A., be in L.A. and be an idiot and still perform well? History doesn't really always speak kindly on that when you go to a big market with more influences where you can act more of an idiot if that's who you are. But I'm not going to kill Kansas City. If I'm honest with you, I feel like some of those Kansas City fans, some of those Midwestern people seeing him cut a fool like that was like, you know what, I get it. I understand. You had to let him go. Good riddance.
There must be more to that. There's something else happened. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I actually think it's a smart move for both teams here. I think from the Chiefs here is addition by subtraction. Sometimes when you have a player like that, you just have to move on for him. He probably even needs a fresh start. And I think that's what's in play here. He obviously did some idiotic things there to hurt him there in Kansas City. The talent is obviously still there. There's no doubt about it. But from the Chiefs, they're looking at it as an addition by subtraction. And the Rams is looking at it as an opportunity to get an elite talent And to see if a fresh start here is a wake-up call for him and see if he can turn a corner. So I actually think it's good for both teams here when you look at this trade. And from the Rams' perspective, they had one of the better offenses in the league last year. Their defense, the personnel is there, but they were up and down last year. They had games where they really performed well last season, and they had some games where they did not perform so well. And that was both against the pass and the run. So this is an opportunity for them to get an elite talent anyway, in hopes that
that's
from a behavior standpoint, that this trade will be a wake-up call and an opportunity for him to turn the corner here as well. And speaking of the Rams, I have them, Chiefs don't have a first-round pick. The Rams are picking 23, and right now I have them taking Maurice Hurst, defensive tackle from Michigan, to try to help them improve that run defense as well.
Yep. Yeah, good call, Rob. And I think that's something that we didn't get a chance to talk about, the fact that now that you have seen, you know, your future here, I mean, the offense was pretty dynamic. And you need just a little bit more defensively to kind of stop, you know, teams in the division. So now it is a huge gamble, right, fellas? But now you get a guy, you know, if he can get his, you know, stuff together, you know, you're kind of taking a little bit like that. Where can you get, like, a top-flight player like him? Now you add that to a pretty, you know, like we talked about, we know we talked about the defense is getting better and stuff like that too. You know, Aaron Donald, now you got a couple things, and you keep adding. And, yeah, that can be a pretty dynamic team. So, again, they're probably thinking in their head, you know, as far as it's enough risk for us to give a couple of picks. But it's definitely a move that they're going to be on the up and up too, for sure. So keep an eye on the Rams for sure. You know, I know we were kind of laughing at them, and I know Jeff Fisher is probably back somewhere like, damn it, you know, but part of the conversation.
Rolling over in his grave.
That's hilarious.
I'm just saying, he's an idiot.
This.
I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
In terms of gambling,
but is he the right fit?
I get the gamble
he's
for.
He's an idiot, but is he a good fit, though? I mean, you can be an idiot, but is it a good move? And I think it's a good move.
Yeah, if he.
Right.
Yeah, but just maybe if he learns from it, it's a great move. But if he goes and gets, you know, indulged, and they say, well, you know what, they didn't understand you, and they just, you know, they indulge that culture of it, then it's not a great move. But I get it. For what they gave up for him, I get it. But from a Kansas City standpoint, I also get it, too. I think he just wore his welcome. I agree with Rob. Sometimes a fresh start is good for everybody involved, and he gets a fresh start. Kansas City gets a couple of picks. Maybe they use those picks to move up to get somebody else that becomes transcendent for their locker room and for their team. You never know. So it's incumbent on Kansas City to make those picks mean. But I can get them being tired of his shenanigans.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, but we've seen a lot of guys. We've seen star players make a move, and it's like a wake-up call for them, and they become a different player. Their mindset changes. They mature a little bit. And so I think from the Rams' perspective, that's what they're hoping for. That's what they're banking on here. So we'll see if that takes place. If it does, then they got them. And if he's playing up to the same ability he's shown in the past, then, hey, this is a serious game for the Rams.
Mm. All right.
Yep.
Let's wrap this up here. We got a couple things to discuss here. We're going to talk about Lamar Jackson's draft status, and we're going to talk about some mock draft coverage as we get ready to get set for the combine and all of the jazz here. So, yeah, we are looking at the mock draft. Rob, you kind of have him going in the later part of the round, first round, if you will. And let's talk about Lamar Jackson, where you think he's going to end up. And there's been some talk, some guys, and that's whatever, they're talking about him possibly switching positions. I'm hoping that's not just, you know, some, you know, guy that's talking out the side of the neck. But let's talk about his draft status and all the good jazz.
Yeah, we look at Lamar Jackson right now. I mean, I said it last week's show. I still think his ceiling in his draft is probably Buffalo around 21, 22. And, you know, I think his floor is probably somewhere in the second round. So we're still looking at somewhere in that ballpark. For the way he gets drafted. Obviously, combines, pro days, interviews are going to play a lot of what happens here in the next month or so as far as his draft stock. And obviously what happens from the free agency standpoint, too. That's going to play a lot. I think Kirk Cousins has got a huge role in his draft.
Yep.
So once we figure out where he's going, that's going to change up the draft tremendously.
Dominoes.
as well. Yeah, it's going to be a domino effect. So there's still a lot to be played out in this particular draft. I mean, I threw a little wrinkle in my last mock draft. If you can see, I actually have the New York Giants trading up into the back end of the first half and getting Lamar Jackson with that number 32 pick. It's the New York Giants. And if that was something like that was to happen, obviously Pat Shurmur would still go with Eli and give him an opportunity to develop Lamar Jackson for a year or two. And then, of course, they could see Saquon Barkley at the number two spot in this draft. So every now and again I'll throw a trade in my mock, and so this was a rarity. But that, it, like I said, his ceiling is somewhere around 21, 22. There's a lot of talk and a lot of rumors about Buffalo being really high on Mason Rudolph and think they can possibly get him in the second round as well, which as of now, that is a possibility. So we'll wait and see what happens. But I still think Lamar Jackson is up for consideration with the Bills. But I would say at the moment they pass on him in 21-22, and he falls to the latter part of the first round here at the moment. But, yeah, he's somewhere between 21 to 45 in his draft.
You know, I just – that Bill Polian and that talk, it just – it bothers me because we're all of the age of – we're around where it's not a myth to where we grew up where a Randall Cunningham – and, you know, couldn't play quarterback because he had to go over and beyond to prove that he was smart enough to be a black quarterback. So when I go with that, you know, a piece of me harkens back to that piece of it of, you know, you were drafted Gino Toretta and all these other Heisman Trophy quarterbacks and not talk about them moving positions, but this is a guy who's won the Heisman Trophy as a quarterback, and you haven't even given him a chance to go into the NFL to prove that he can be a quarterback. So that to me bothers me. And, you know, I don't like to sort of throw race into it all the time, but if I'm being honest, it feels like that's being thrust upon it, and I don't understand it.
Yep.
I'm not saying he's going to be the next coming and be the greatest quarterback of all time because we don't know. Maybe those guys are right, and he won't translate. But I think he should still be given the opportunity to hone his craft as a quarterback for all the times you've given these other guys the same chance to do that. That didn't have the same stature that he's had coming out of college. Like I said, he's won the Heisman, and then the next year he had better stats than he had in the year that he won the Heisman Trophy. So I just don't understand that. So I don't really have a still in the floor for him because it's all over the board where I just think people are holding their cards close to the vest. I think some people might believe that. I think some people want – people, other people, they believe that so he can fall to them. But I think he's going to find somebody that's going to come in and try to work hard, and maybe he doesn't make it, and maybe he does translate somewhere else in terms of a position in the NFL. I feel like you may look back and say, man, we really missed the boat on this guy. He seems like a really humble dude. He's got a really good arm. Like, people get lost in that. He's got a really good arm. He doesn't have a pop gun arm. He has a good arm. He may have a cannon as, like, a Josh Allen who can hit the crossbar from 40 yards. But he has a good enough arm to make it in this league, and he has the other pieces. I know people talk about his frame. You can work on him in terms of nutrition. You can teach him how to slide, to step up in the pocket, and not always break out of it. I think those are things that can be learned, that can be taught. But I think he has the raw ability to be able to play quarterback in the NFL if given the proper chance and the proper system. I think if Buffalo passes him for Mason Rudolph, I think Mason Rudolph looks like it, you know, saying, you know, looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane. I kind of get that a little bit from Mason Rudolph. He has the physical ability, you know, I think Buffalo has gone to Tyrod Taylor, but I think Lamar Jackson is a better prospect than Tyrod Taylor ever was, to be honest with you. So if I wouldn't compare the two of them and say we had Tyrod, so now we can't take Lamar because they're the same guy. I don't think they're the same guy, me personally. So, you know, I think he's going to be a real interesting study case here in this draft. He could be anywhere. It just depends on what he does in the combine, what he agrees to do. In terms of throwing, running, I think he's going to interview, but in terms of getting out back there and actually throwing. But it feels a lot like, to me, and I said it last week, what teams did to Teddy Bridgewater last year. And not that he has the same physical ability in terms of running the ball as Lamar Jackson, but it was like, why are you tearing this guy apart? I don't know if it's a Louisville thing or whatever it is, but it's like, why are you tearing these guys apart? All they've done is gone and balled out with, you know, can we be honest, mediocre talent is best around him at a Louisville program that's not expected to be an upper echelon college football team. So I'm just real interested to see where he goes and who takes a chance on him. But I will agree with Rob that I don't think now with all the chatter there's going to be a upper first-round pick. It's going to be either a team that says, yeah, please follow me in the lower first round, and somebody that jumps back up from the early second round into the later part of the first round and make a move for him. So I'm really interested. I'm high on Lamar Jackson. I have him, to me, as my third quarterback behind. I think Josh Rosen ceiling is higher. He could be Aaron Rodgers, but he could be Jeff George. And honestly, I know you know, you're going to be shocked to hear me say that. I think Baker Mayfield is just a gamer. And he's somebody that you're going to hate to play against, but your team is going to love to have him on your team. I don't think he's Johnny Manziel. I think all his things are controllable on the field. But behind those two, I will put Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. Wow. And when you, I mentioned this on previous shows, too. When you look at college game tape of Mike Vick versus Lamar Jackson, Lamar Jackson coming out of college, is even he's got strong arm. Mike Vick obviously had a very strong arm as well. But from an accuracy standpoint, Lamar Jackson is about five times ahead of what Mike Vick was coming out of college.
And, yes.
I definitely still think he is a quarterback. He is an intriguing prospect coming out of this draft. And you know, it's just going to be a matter of how his game translates to the NFL, getting with the right coaching staff, et cetera. So it's going to be extremely interesting. Yeah, Tyrod Taylor was a third, fourth-round pick coming out. So Lamar Jackson was definitely picked way ahead of that. So yeah, I don't think those two players are even up for a discussion for a comparison.
Agreed.
Wow. Agreed.
Yeah. All right.
Sorry, my bad. I
got
to stop back a little bit.
JQ probably took about 15 minutes talking about Lamar Jackson, which was hilarious, but it's all good.
I did not take 15 minutes. It was three.
I'm just joking. It was like, Rob,
you had a hard time.
I want to thank you for putting together the mock draft. Again, as always, hope you get a chance to post those. I'm not sure which one we post. We're making some progress. There's been some trades and updates and everything like that, and we'll get those all the way up to draft day. I will have to say, though, the one thing, and we can wrap this up with the last thing you want to add on the mock draft coverage here, we're going to keep this going. One thing I will say is that if Billy Price is that close, you know, the Falcons definitely try to make a move. And if that's not the case, then I think they'll probably definitely try to get Hernandez if he's on the board versus, I think the pick that you had us. But anyway, that's my two cents. Other than that, we appreciate what you're doing. I'm scared to put it with JQ. JQ?
Well, you know, I was in when he put Derwin James there. No, I'm not going to do that. I mean, I'm only passionate about Lamar Jackson because of the narrative around him switching positions and not just judging him. I know. I just want everybody listening to understand that's a piece of why I feel that way about him in terms of giving him a chance to prove his worth at quarterback. I'm all in on Derwin James. You know how I feel. If you can't, you know, I don't want them to overreach and go and get the third or fourth, the Bengals, that is, to get the third or fourth offensive tackle on the board. And like Rob talks about so eloquently and is correct upon, you don't reach in that first round for a need to lead players you have higher rate on your board to go get a need. So I like the Derwin James pick for them. You know, the AFC North, you talk about Reed, talk about Polamalu. I think, you know, if he's over that knee injury, I think he can be that kind of player if used correctly. And I think Cincinnati needs that kind of player on defense just to kind of juicing that defense up. They've gotten a little bit older, especially in the secondary, and then they've had those young guys not hit. But I'll agree with you in terms of the Falcons. That interior line, unless they go get, the guy from Carolina or somebody that can – or Sitton, who I think is taking a step back since he's been cut from Green Bay, I think it's a Price or Isaiah Wynn or Hernandez. I think if one of those three falls to them, I think if I'm Atlanta – I feel like my defense is good enough. We can pair some pieces here in the later rounds, but we get that interior line together. If you're Atlanta, you're like, okay, we can go back to doing what we used to do, and we can keep that rush right from coming right up the middle into Matt Ryan's face.
Yeah, and getting, you know, just looking at this latest mock draft here, my last one, of course, Lamar Jackson. I had him going to Jacksonville. Obviously, with Blake Bortles signing a 3-year, $54 million extension, Jacksonville has pretty much sealed their fate that they are going to ride with Blake Bortles at the quarterback position. So that obviously warranted a change there in the draft and moved Lamar Jackson down three more spots based on that move for Jacksonville. Pretty much the top six pretty much stays the same. Obviously, we're still waiting on the Kirk Cousins domino effect to take place. and see where that kind of moves. Connor Williams, offensive tackle from Texas, he's the guy that probably made the biggest move on my board, moved him all the way up to number 8 to Chicago. They're looking to improve their offensive line. Of course, moved Derwin James up a few spots to Cincinnati. Denzel Ward moved him down a little bit, corner from Ohio State, going to Washington. He could be a big play for them. Cortland Sutton, wide receiver from SMU, terrific talent.
Big guy.
You know, a lot of people look at that. Green Bay's wide receiver position is in flux right now. Jordy Nelson, as well as Randall Cobb, have huge dollar signs on their next year's contract. And there's a lot of talk in either of those guys being restructured or getting cut. So a lot of people look at that and be like, does Green Bay need a wide receiver? But we'll have to wait and see how that plays out with those two guys. Like I said, the position is in a state of flux right now with those high salary numbers, and they're not really putting up the numbers. And that could have been because of Aaron Rodgers being out too. So we'll wait and see. That's a position in flux right now for Green Bay. Josh Allen, of course, to Arizona at 15. Let's see, what are some other big names here? We talked to Buffalo, definitely wants to improve the offensive line. So we'll see what happens as far as, you know, how much Atlanta will be willing to move up for a player like Billy Price or even Will Hernandez, who possibly has a chance to go a little bit higher as well. So we'll wait and see with that. Carlton Davis, cornerback from Auburn, is the cornerback that's built in that Seattle mold where Dan Quinn comes from, with long, rangy arms. Perfect kind of corner. What he's looking for with that kind of size. It'll obviously be a player that Dan Quinn will love to have. Probably not a huge need at this point, but once again, you know, when you're looking at the draft board, you're going to go with best player available in the first round. So we'll see how that all kind of shakes out. And let's see what Sony Michel. I had him on the last draft to Carolina at 24. I still have him to Carolina at 24. You know, you might say, well, hey, do I have to pick a running back 2 drafts in a row? But I think with that offense, the way that team is built from a defensive standpoint, and with the quarterback that they have as well, teams are going to more of a 1-2 punch at running back position. The Panthers just cut Jonathan Stewart today. So, I mean, having a combination of somebody like a Sony Michel and a Christian McCaffrey, I think could really be very intriguing, similar to what the Saints have with Ingram and Kamara. And of course, you still have the running ability of Cam Newton. So that would be extremely intriguing if Carolina was to do something like that as well, getting another running back at that position with Sony Michel. And, J.Q., I'm sure you know about Sam Hubbard, defensive end for Ohio State. Right now they have him going to the Saints at 27. Definitely could use another guy that could rush the pass. And, of course, the Saints like Ohio State players. It seems like we always wind up with 1 or 2 in the draft or in free agency. A guy that really came on toward the end of the season with a motor. Guy that was transformed from being a safety at one point all the way to being a defensive end. So we'll see how that shakes out. Obviously, the Saints would love to get somebody that can rush the passer outside of Cam Jordan there. Darius Geis, another guy, moved back into the first round. You may say, well, Pittsburgh has Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell is also a free agent. I do think he's going to stay with the Steelers, but once again, teams are looking to have these 1-2 punch at the running back position. Now, Tavon Bryant from Florida, I moved him back into the first round. In my last draft, I had him in the second round, so moved him back in. Rashawn Evans, linebacker from Alabama, moved him down a little bit to New England at the 31 spot. So, very intriguing. Who knows when my next mock will be coming out. We'll see what kind of takes place with the combine here coming up in free agency. And as you can see, a lot of players are being released. Jets cut Muhammad as well. So, obviously, those are going to play a role in the factor of what happens here going forward, too.
Nice. Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm scared to say anything to add because, you know, we'll be here for another, 20 minutes here. But, again, only because
– No, I'm not going to do it.
I'm so joking. Do you want to wrap this up? I'm messing with JQ.
No, I don't think it's that. I don't know. I like Hubbard. I don't know if she is worth that high of a pick. I do love his motor. He's a little leaner in the frame. He's going to fill out a little bit more. But, you know, we've seen leaner guys, you know, excel at that position. So that'd be intriguing if the Saints do that. But you're right, the Saints do a lot of the Buckeyes, you know, OH. I agree with you. There's a lot of tricky things, and I agree with the Stewart being cut. I can see the Panthers taking a running back. But them also not talking about franchise and Newell, the offensive lineman, they may be also in play for one of those guards that we just talked about in terms of the Billy Prices, the Hernandez, and the Isaiah Wins. So that's also, I think, a possibility for Carolina as well, given the fact that they have chosen to franchise Graham Gano, which I think is ridiculous, but that's their decision. So, you know, I will put them in play also for offensive linemen as well, just because of that decision to let go of a really good guard when you're paying a lot of money for your offensive line and you feel like you need to replace him.
Yeah, a coach like that, a coach like Ron Rivera knows you got to win in the trenches too. So that's mm-hmm. they're definitely going to be in play there. Yeah, yep. I mean, you have to win in the trenches.
All right, gentlemen, congratulations. We officially made it to the 12:30, and I know it's kind of like getting late here, so let's wrap this show up, and let's do it, man.
Next Wednesday night, people, we're back on the air. 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. You don't want to miss this. We got a lot of fantastic stuff coming up here. NFL Combine, March Madness. It's tournament time. Big Ten in New York City, baby. They're trying to make it rain in the Big Apple. So it's already March Madness here. It's March 1st. it's March Madness time. So we got a lot to talk about from that standpoint. We're getting into some serious Western Conference playoffs in the NBA. We got about eight teams competing for six spots
get it right.
In the Western Conference. Let me get my math right here. So we got a stretch run coming forward there. And, you know, even the last spot or two in the East is going to come up for grabs. You know, Detroit with Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond. Should be battling the Miami Heat for that last spot in the Eastern Conference, too. So we got a lot to talk about here, so you don't want to miss us on next Wednesday night, people.
Yes, sir. I appreciate all of y'all for staying with us. And I'm sorry I got a little long-winded, but, you know, I get passionate when they start doing people the wrong way. So I got to let my people know that I'm with you. Don't do him like that. Give that man a chance. We holler at y'all next week. Thanks for staying with us.
JQ, if he was a preacher, man, I tell you, you'd be putting everybody to sleep, man.
And I'm talking about Norwell. I'm sorry, and that's an Ohio State guard. That's on me for being an idiot. He's a really good guard, so he's going to get some money on the free agency market. But I can see Carolina trying to replace him.
That's right. Yeah, all good. All right, gentlemen, let's get this going.
We know he's
going
to be out when he gets to preach.
Oh man. Yeah. Hey, it's been fun. Hey, thanks for sharing the battle with you guys tonight, man. Stay tuned for pictures for Friday. It's going to be fun. But have a great rest of the week, okay, guys? We'll see you.
Yes, sir.
Good night, America.
Thank you.
Good night, people. Peace.
I'll let y'all later.
Good night. Yep.